I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point from WBUR Boston. The pressure is on President Barack Obama's re-election campaign. Late last week in the White House garden, what looked like a direct reaction. The president announced his executive order that would stop deportation of illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. before they were 16, have been here at least 5 years, and in high school, are high school grads or military vets, have no criminal record, and are under 30. That's a lot of people and a big relief for a lot of immigrant families and maybe a lot of Latino votes to follow. This hour on Point, the president's big move on young migrants. You can join the conversation. Are you cheering? Are you not? Was this the right thing to do, the right way to do it? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. On Friday, the president was in the Rose Garden announcing a new policy of the Department of Homeland Security under his executive order, saying some young, clean-record illegal immigrants would be exempted from deportation.
It makes no sense to expel talented young people who, for all intents and purposes, are Americans. They've been raised as Americans, understand themselves to be part of this country.
Mitt Romney coming back, not exactly criticizing the policy, but certainly criticizing the timing. Here he is yesterday on CBS News Face the Nation.
I think the timing is pretty clear. If he really wanted to make a solution that dealt with these kids or with illegal immigration in America, then this is something he would have taken up in his first 3.5 years, not in his last few months.
We'll go to Arizona and Texas in this hour for reaction, and we'll hear from you. But joining us first today is ABC senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper. He's with the president in Los Cabos, Mexico, for this week's G20 Economic Summit. Jake Tapper, thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to On Point.
Hola.
Hola. Why did the president do it? Why did he do it now?
Well, there's the official reason, and then there is the skeptical reason. You tell me which one you want first.
Let's go official.
The official reason that this is a problem and Congress was not acting. There had been the DREAM Act, which did not get enough votes, and then Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, was working on a bill, but because he was having trouble winning Republican converts to that bill, that bill had not gone forward, and this was something that needed action. There were up to a million of these young people who had been brought here by their parents and were eligible for deportation, that the administration just did not feel like that was a good use of resources. And while this does not provide them with a path to citizenship, it does carve out a special place for them in the system where they can apply every 2 years to be immune from deportation as long as they are not in trouble with the law. They're serving in the military. They're serving in they're in high school or college, and that's the official reason that it's at least addressing a teeny little bit of a major problem that this country has not addressed in any serious way since 1987.
And this from a president who has not been soft on deportation. He's got the highest deportation numbers in his first 3 years of any president since the 1950s, I'm reading, Jake.
Yeah, they've been focusing largely on criminals, who illegal immigrants who, in addition to being in the country illegally, and thus having criminal records that way, have additional criminal charges against them, especially violent criminals. That's been their focus. But yeah, I mean, there was an attempt by the White House early on to try to meet Republicans halfway in a way by saying, okay, well, we'll be aggressive. We'll send more troops to the border. We'll deport people who are in the country illegally. And now let's try to do something. But this is a fairly divided political system these days in Washington. And it was not something that the president tried to tackle in his first year, even though he did make that promise on the campaign trail that he would make a serious attempt. He did not. The reason for it, they say, is because Republicans, even those who were willing to compromise on this issue in years past, were not able to do so. We're not willing to do so now.
Almost 400,000 deportations by the Obama administration last year. Now the skeptical reason, Jake, I mean, here we are, the election's looming. The news has not been good for the Obama campaign lately.
That's right, and the truth is you don't have to choose one or the other. It's possible that both are
mm-hmm.
true. The president, look, this is going to be a very, very tough re-election for President Obama, and his election is focused on increasing the numbers of voters in the following groups: one, women voters; two, young voters; and three, Latino voters, and the secret about Latino voters, not so secret really, but they're not particularly great at voting. And so the president's trying to give them incentives, reasons to get to the polling place, a box in which to put Mitt Romney. And as you mentioned, Romney has not taken a position on this bill, on this action rather, other than objecting to the manner in which it was done. He has not said whether he would repeal it if he were elected president. So it succeeds in that way. I mean, some Republicans say, look, this is just President Obama, again, trying to change the conversation, to change the topic from the economy to a topic that he would rather talk about, which is illegal immigration or immigration reform, because that helps him as opposed to talking about the economy. Be that as it may, it could work. It could be effective.
Of course, Romney, during the primary campaign, was very tough on immigration, out-toughing everybody else, saying, last December in Iowa, they can go back home and get in line with everybody else when he talked about...
Self-deportation.
Yeah.
Was the term, which I'm still not quite sure what that is. But look at Mitt Romney, when all said and done, he carved out, as you said, this very conservative position, this hardline position on immigration, on illegal immigration. He is, as the presumptive Republican nominee, the most conservative Republican nominee on this issue in decades. Because you look back, and John McCain and George W. Bush were moderates on this issue. They were trying to, they were both in favor of the immigration reform bill that although McCain distanced himself from it in 2008 when he was running for president, and it hurt him. It was without question. I think there was nobody was confused that if John McCain had won, this was, he would have supported some sort of, major immigration reform. And then, you have Ronald Reagan, who signed the 1987 amnesty into law. I think it's fair to say that Mitt Romney is the most conservative Republican nominee on this issue we've seen in a long time, and that could be a problem for him in certain states such as Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico. Maybe Florida, although the Latino composition of Florida is a little bit different there. It could be a problem for him.
Which is why, even though he's staked out such a conservative position lately, he's not talking about repeal, which he could.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, he could say just look at the difference between what, say, a hardliner like Congressman Steve King from Iowa, Republican, said about this and what Mitt Romney said or Marco Rubio. Basically, I object to the way he did this. Or if he really wanted to do something serious, he would pursue this legislatively, not just by executive fiat or however he did it. But he didn't. I think President Obama, as a political stroke, this did successfully put Romney in a box. Although I think the subject is always going to be the economy. These are just little issues. Not little, if it affects you directly, of course, but in terms of importance to the American voting electorate, these are smaller issues that the president's going to try to, win support on the margins for, whether it's talking about contraception and trying to win over, women voters in Northern Virginia or the suburbs of Philadelphia or Shaker Heights, Ohio, or an issue like this, where he's trying to motivate Latino voters and get them to the polls, and also to be motivated against Mitt Romney in addition.
Lots of talk around the country over the weekend about this. As many as 1.4 million immigrants might be eligible, we're reading here. In those same swing states, very important for Barack Obama, his campaign having a tough time lately. What have you heard, Jake, as you travel with the president down to Mexico for the G20? What have they made of reaction to this move over the weekend? I mean, there's celebration among young Latino Hispanic populations, certainly immigrant populations, but bitter criticism of what he did and how he did it from the right.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that all anybody I talk to, whether it's with the administration, traveling with the president, or traveling separately or on my own, all anybody talks about is the economy. I'm sure that this is an issue that the president will be able to use successfully to motivate young Latino voters. But it's really all the economy. And especially here at the G20 meeting, the meeting of the world's 20 largest economies here in Los Cabos, Mexico, the biggest news over the weekend or over the last week was not what the president announced on Friday or the rude interruption by that reporter on Friday, but rather the how Greece voted on Sunday and the sigh of relief that President Obama and the world have felt, the exhale that Greece has not voted to remove themselves from the Eurozone.
Because everybody's worried about that economy and it coming down and all the pressure that's put on the Obama campaign. Are they running scared, Jake, on the campaign reelection front? There was this sort of panicky sounds last week out of the White House.
I think they're worried. I mean, and I would be too, were I them. This is, you know, the economy is not recovering the way that they had hoped it would be. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Obviously, a lot of this is because of Europe. Every time there's been in this country the recovery has started to sputter, it's been directly correlated to problems in Europe. You know, this is no exception. And in addition to the fact that, you know, it's true that Greece pulled itself back from the precipice, but administration officials think, you know, the best case scenario here is it's going to be long and messy to fix what's going on in Europe. And, you know, okay, so Greece is not leaving the Eurozone, but they still have to renegotiate the deal. And then you have Spain, you have Italy, and who knows
all the rest
what other shoe's going to fall. And yeah, I mean, there's always a concern about a run on the banks. And I think that is the big issue. And they feel like right now they're having a rough go of it, mainly because of the economy. And I think that's true.
On the road to November and here, immigration policy brought in right on the heels of all that trouble. Jake Tapper, senior White House correspondent for ABC News. Thank you, Jake, for being with us.
Oh, adios.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about President Obama's big move to end deportation of young illegal immigrants, Obama's short-term kind of dream act by executive order. Looking at its reach and its politics, its implications, here was the president again in the Rose Garden at the White House on Friday stressing that it's not a measure for permanent residency or permanent immigration reform.
Let's be clear. This is not amnesty. This is not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship. It's not a permanent fix. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, driven, patriotic young people. It is the right thing to do.
The president, and speaking there at the end over a kind of a press member heckler at that announcement on Friday, you could hear the relief around the country the next day. Here's Oscar Chico, a 20-year-old undocumented immigrant from Mexico, saying he has lived in fear of deportation.
It's not easy for us because we have to live with fear of getting deported. We have to work. We have to work really, really hard in order to get a normal life. Like, they're treating us like we're aliens from some other world, but we're just humans.
We're just humans. It's not amnesty, the president says. All kinds of reaction over the weekend. I want to go to the front lines of this issue. Phoenix, Arizona. We're joined by Joe Dana, reporter and anchor at KPNX Channel 12 News. It's the NBC affiliate in Phoenix. He's been watching reaction to President Obama's big announcement in a state where immigration is a white-hot political issue. Joe Dana, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Have you seen reaction, I don't know, even in the streets to this?
Oh, yeah. We've seen celebrations, watch parties when the president made his announcement. I mean, keep in mind, for people here, some have been waiting 7 or 8 years for this moment. They see it as a sort of watershed moment in their fight to help these kids, who they call the dreamers,
mm-hmm.
get some type of status to be able to work. Now, others, though, even those who are on the Latino side who are supporting this, are saying it's still a murky future here. It's short term, and they're cautious. But, you know, we've seen people fasting for weeks at, you know, over the years and holding protests. And keep in mind, in Arizona, we saw the employer sanctions bill passed here. We saw another bill meant to clamp down and strip scholarships from students. So if they're here illegally. So there's been an effort underway to try to get the DREAM Act passed for a long time. And this was some kind of signal from the administration that something will be done.
So what's the profile, Joe, here? I mean, we see the technical points. They have to have come to the U.S. before age 16. I'm not sure how you prove that, have lived here for at least 5 years, be in school or a high school grad or a military veteran in good standing, must still be under 30, must have clean criminal records. I mean, the president's holding up a picture for us to consider of a kind of a, I mean, he points to sort of what we hear about a lot of college people, kids in college, or maybe just out, and they can't get a driver's license, they can't get a job, they're American in every way, but as he said, on paper, is that the profile on the ground?
Well, you have students, for example, like Dulce Matus, a woman that I interviewed last year. She was on the seventh day of a fast in the middle of a protest. She got an electrical engineering degree from ASU and said, look, I can't get a job. I have all these qualifications. There's a need here for bilingual professionals in this industry. I can't work. She helped lead a lot of the DREAM Act movements here. Then you have other students, for example, at a protest where I saw some high school kids one day about 3 years ago who all ditched school in the middle of the day to try to show a sign of support, you know, for the DREAM Act. And a lot of those kids said, hey, I was brought here when I was 9 or 10. I don't know what I want to do after high school, but look, I fear every day my parents could be deported, and this shouldn't be a burden that I have to carry as well. I should be able to know that when I go to college, if I'm eligible for scholarships, I can get them, and that if I graduate and find a good job, that I'll be able to work in that job, because I don't even know what Mexico's like. Last time I was there, I was 4 years old. Yeah. Or I was 6 years, you know. So, yeah, you have different profiles, and it's estimated that there are about 50,000 young adults here today that would be eligible for this new program.
You're talking in Arizona alone?
In Arizona. Mm-hmm. So that's one estimate we got from the Migration Policy Institute.
But how do Arizonans look at this? I mean, when that young woman says, look, I can't get a job, you can imagine a lot of American citizens saying, well, I can't get a job either.
You're right. And, you know, Governor Brewer, Jan Brewer made the point here on Friday that one, this is sort of an affront to those hardworking Americans who may have lost jobs that have been trying to get one for months. And two, this just creates confusion for the state. We've been trying to get clarity from the feds. And so on the state level, laws have been passed to try to push the feds into acting. And this just kind of throws, I guess, more of a murkiness to the situation, because you're going to have people going to apply for jobs to saying, well, technically, yes, I'm not here legally. I don't have status, but the administration says I am allowed to work for you. And so, and you know, the governor was very strong. And John Kyle this morning, Senator Kyle, made the point that, look, the president last September, he's the one that answered a question about whether he could do this. And he's the one that said, I can't do this. Congress has to pass a law to allow DREAM Act students to get jobs. I can't do it on my own. And Senator Kyle's making the point that now the president is completely reversing his stance.
And, of course, your Senator John McCain saying something very similar yesterday. Here he was on MSNBC, saying he didn't recall any time when something like this has been done on this issue.
The president of the United States is now dictating that certain laws will not be enforced. That is a rather serious step. It's one thing to say you're not going to challenge a law in court or something like that, but I don't recall a time when any president has basically said we're not going to enforce a law that's on the books.
Arizona's Republican Senator John McCain there yesterday. Joe Dana in Phoenix, please stand by there. I want to welcome into our conversation Victoria DeFrancesco Soto. She's a fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the LBJ School of Public Affairs, University of Texas. Victoria, thank you very much for being with us.
Greetings from Texas, Tom.
You've got both Arizona senators there, Kyle and McCain, saying, what is the president doing? How can he just bypass the Congress and do this on his own? What about that?
Well, what's happening here is that the Congress has been paralyzed. We have seen over the last couple of years Congress become less and less bipartisan, and it's come to a breaking point. And the president, in order to try to do something with regards to immigration, he said, okay, I tried to do it the congressional avenue, the DREAM Act. It didn't happen. I'm going to bypass it and go through executive order. I can understand where folks may not be happy with that, but looking at it from a more general perspective, we see that executive powers have been growing regardless of the party of the president. Over the last couple of decades, our presidents have becoming more and more powerful. They assume more and more executive powers at the same time that Congress becomes more and more deficit in terms of being able to work together. So looking at it just from an institutional perspective, it's not surprising that we came to this.
Is this equivalent to the DREAM Act in your view, Victoria, or close to it? I mean, people have to come in every 2 years to renew work permits if they get them. Renew the status, I guess. How do you look at it?
Absolutely not. It is not the DREAM Act, because the linchpin of the DREAM Act is that it provides a path to citizenship. And in effect, the issue of a path to citizenship is what has angered many Republicans. Republicans say, hey, we understand that we need a greater workforce, but we don't want to give these folks a pass who, in their view, broke the law. That's fine. So what the president did is he said, okay, let me provide this temporary relief, and then we can revisit it. Interestingly enough, Tom, here in Texas, earlier this month, the Republican Party of Texas held their convention. And at this convention, they approved their party platform. And one of the planks in this platform called on the federal government to implement a guest worker program for immigrants. So ironically enough, strong sections of the GOP are saying that they want something like this. 2 days later, the president implements this, but the sticking point is, of course, that many Republicans perceive this as an executive overreach. But theoretically, policy-wise, they should be in agreement.
You had Haley Barbour talking along these lines, Marco Rubio with his own DREAM Act suggestions, but Mitt Romney saying yesterday that this is not the way to go. Here he is on Face the Nation.
With regards to these kids who were brought in by their parents through no fault of their own, there needs to be a long-term solution so they know what their status is. This is something Congress has been working on, and I thought we were about to see some proposals brought forward by Senator Marco Rubio and by Democrat senators. But the president jumped in and said, I'm going to take this action. He called it a stopgap measure. I don't know why he feels stopgap measures are the right way to go.
Romney not saying he would repeal it, but saying let's go for the big picture. Well, of course, we've seen where that has gone kind of nowhere lately. Victoria, Joe, stand by. Julie in Bowling Green, Kentucky is calling in. Julie, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm not necessarily against this policy. I think it's a good thing in some ways, but what I do not understand, a minute ago you made the comment, I'm not sure how they're supposed to prove that, you know, the young people that qualify for this policy,
yep.
I'm not sure how they're supposed to prove. And that's exactly my question, is how do you prove? I mean, can just any young Latino person come forward and say, hey, I came at such and such age, and how do you, age 16, and how do you prove that? How can this be done the right way?
That's interesting, Julie. Victoria, do you know, let's say, okay, you're eligible up to your 30 if you came before you were 16, so I'm 29 and I show up and I say, you know, I came 20 years ago. Is it school records, or what do they ask for? Do you know, Victoria?
Well, again, this announcement of the executive order was made on Friday, so mm-hmm. we have yet to see a finalized policy that sets out these specifics. However, that being said, we can imagine that school records will be a primary point of that. Also, in terms of deciding who is ineligible for this, it is going to be cross-checked with federal and state databases to make sure that these folks who are applying have not broken the law, because this is a key point, that in order to be eligible for these guest worker permits, you have to be in good standing. So we're also going to see that. I would not be surprised to also see perhaps letters of support of recommendation from school and community leaders to bolster the fact that these young folks are in good standing. So I think we're going to see a whole host of different documents, but mainly through their time in high school and, say, middle school.
Watch this space. Mike in Boston, you're on the air, Mike.
Hi, Tom. I do applaud the president for rising up above the contentious rhetoric in Washington and do something about it. I mean, here are these young people armed with high school diplomas and mm-hmm. college degrees, in many instances, advanced college degrees. I mean, why do we want to send them back? I mean, we can't lose. This is a win-win situation. That's all I have to say.
Mike, I appreciate your call. We'll look at it. Mark Krikorian joins us right now from Washington. He's executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, author of How Obama is Transforming America Through Immigration. Mark Krikorian, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Our caller says it's a win-win situation. You know, these are kids who have done it the right way. They've gone to college or gone to school. They're in school or they've gone to the military and served there. It's a win-win situation, he says. What do you say, Mark?
But, see, that's asking answering the second question of whether legalizing illegal immigrants who were brought here as kids is a good idea or not. That's, to me, not the main issue. That's an important issue. It's something we need to debate in Congress. But the question is, why is the president taking it upon himself to do it in this way?
Because Congress has been paralyzed, as Victoria says, and I mean, they clearly have. Yeah,
that's his rationale. But what, I mean, Congress is supposed to be paralyzed on a lot of things. In other words, it's the Constitution designs the lawmaking process to be difficult. Do you remember that there was a song, Schoolhouse Rock? I'm a bill, I'm just a bill. You know, the cartoon, he's sitting on Capitol steps. The whole point is it's supposed to be hard to pass laws. And what the president is saying is that I want this objective. Congress hasn't given it to me yet. Therefore, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm sorry, but every president probably would be happy to just essentially legislate on his own because Congress wasn't giving him what he wanted. I mean, imagine 5 years from now with a Republican president, say, who wants a capital gains tax cut. Congress won't give it to him. He simply enacts it on his own. I mean, this is a very dangerous, slippery slope.
But
what
about
on.
Those kids, Mark? I mean, you're happier with deadlock, it sounds as though you might be. But what about the kids whose lives are, you know, being chewed up in those years?
I'm not happier with deadlock. Actually, I've written repeatedly that some narrow version of something like the DREAM Act, one that legalized, that amnestied kids who were brought here as infants or toddlers and had, you know, enforcement elements to it, that sort of thing. I think there's a lot to recommend that. But that's not the point. You cannot say that this is so compelling that we need to go outside the constitutional order in order for it to happen. That's the kind of argument you make. Say, Lincoln made similar arguments during the Civil War. This is in no way comparable to that. This is a very important policy issue that has gotten tied up in Congress. There's all kinds of policy issues that are like that. The president doesn't just get to say, I really want this, therefore I'm going to go around Congress and do it anyway.
Victoria, what about it? Do you fear it could come back and bite things you're interested in one day, or do you think it's urgent enough that the president's right in doing it?
I think it is very urgent. And Mark's comments make it sound like, you know, this is just something normal that Congress debates things and it takes time to get things through.
Well, that's clearly true.
But we are paralyzed. No, this is an exceptional circumstance. We can't even get a highway bill passed in this Congress. Congress's approval is down almost to the single digits. This is not normal. This is something exceptional. And what the president has done is he had said, I have tried to go through the normal process and it has not worked. So I'm going to have to go around. Congress is so paralyzed that we actually see it in the states having to take up the issue one by one. For example, Arizona, Alabama, here in Texas. Immigration is a federal level issue, and it is an issue that should be taken up in D.C. However, because of the paralysis in D.C., states have had to take it on their own.
Of course, you can get paralyzed in all kinds of ways. Joe Dana, we just have a few seconds before the break here, but are Arizonans happy to see Obama step in and clarify one element of this, or would they be happier, you know, staying on their own program that they've been pushing on?
Well, I'll tell you one reason why some are happy is because when you talk about the system being paralyzed, Homeland Security has pointed out that they have backlogs of cases and they have to start prioritizing. It's the same reason that last June, Homeland Security announced that they were going to go after only the higher profile immigration cases and actually close vast amounts because they wanted to start prioritizing. So there is an issue there of how do you deal with just the sheer amount of cases? And so what many are saying is the administration has now said, look, as far as these kids are concerned who are in the system, we're not going to make them a priority and we're going to let them work for the next 2 years if they want.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about President Obama's big move to end deportation of young illegal immigrants, some of them, many potentially. His the president's short-term sort of dream act here, delivered by executive order on Friday. We're looking at its reach and its politics, very significant politics, its implications for individuals, young people, families, the country. Joe Dana is with us from Phoenix, Arizona, reporter and anchor at KPNX, Channel 12 there, the NBC affiliate in Phoenix. Mark Krikorian is with us, executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, not too happy about it. And from Austin, Texas, Victoria DeFrancesco Soto joins us. She's at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas. Lots of callers here. Ryan in Marblehead, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My question is really in regards to the parents of the kids that meet like the qualifications that the president laid out. Is there anything in there for them? Is there any kind of things to keep, like, let them stay with their kids?
Interesting. Joe, let me come to you on that. Is it clear? Is there anything in this for the families beyond the young people who would be affected by this?
You know what? It's my understanding that this only applies to their children, and we have put out two hotline numbers that we've been provided by ICE and Homeland Security for a lot of people out there who have those kinds of questions, because right now there are a lot of details to be worked out, and that sounds like, you know, it might be one of them.
Does this Victoria, make chain immigration possible, or, you know, access to legal status possible for anybody else in the family?
It doesn't, because, Tom, this is a guest worker permit that only gives residency for 2 years. It does not give a pathway to legalization status. So under this policy, you cannot become a citizen. And being a citizen is what would facilitate your family members becoming such. So this is actually very much a temporary measure that doesn't have any ramifications for your family.
What about for an individual's – I'll come to you, Mark, but let me just ask first, for an individual's life, a two-year patch, does that really fix the problem that young people have been so vocally complaining about, Victoria? I mean, 2 years goes by in a hurry, and then you're right back at the same situation?
Well, it depends whether this patch or this Band-Aid will be preceded by, you know, some very intensive surgery here. So are we going to see some comprehensive immigration reform? If that is the case, then this two-year patch will help bridge that gap. If, however, this goes into effect and at the close of 2 years nothing happens, then this will, in effect, put the folks back where they began and, you know, move them to live in fear again.
Mark, what do you see in terms of whole families here? And, of course, very often that's exactly the situation.
Well, Joe is right that the president's announcement doesn't refer in any way to the parents. But earlier memos released by this administration to Homeland Security say that illegal immigrants with U.S. citizen or legal resident children or other relatives should not be deported. So in effect, this does create a kind of indirect benefit for the parents of the illegal immigrants. And the second point is that it's not really as temporary as it sounds. First of all, yes, these would be two-year permits to legally live and work here, but they're indefinitely renewable. And we have a whole history of other kind of temporary statuses that have been used in other contexts, and they never, ever run out. There's nothing as permanent as a temporary immigration status. There are Liberians, for instance, who were illegal immigrants given a temporary status because of the civil war there. We didn't want to deport them. That was more than 20 years ago. So once these young people, if they do in fact get this supposedly temporary status, for all practical purposes, they are permanent residents, even though they don't have the actual green card yet.
Mitt Romney wouldn't say over the weekend that he would repeal it, but if a Republican should come into the White House, could you see them turning it around? Or are the demographics here, the political realities such that nobody in the White House is going to want to turn this around once it's a reality, Mark?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Romney to repeal this. Now, maybe obviously he'd have the authority to do so. And, you know, all the talk about how it's temporary and it isn't really a permanent patch reinforces the idea that somehow it would be repealed. But practically speaking, when we look at other parts of the immigration system where there are various different kinds of temporary statuses issued, they've never been ended, ever. There are always, maybe they'll be renamed or something, but there's nothing as permanent as a temporary immigrant. And once these young people, if they, this in fact happens, get their 2-year residence permit and their employment authorization document, which is the work card, the game is over. They've been permanently legalized for all intents and purposes.
Well, maybe. We'd have to see. Angela in Dedham, Massachusetts. Angela, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to add a comment. From personal experience, I can tell you that children who are undocumented, given this opportunity by the president, I can actually make plans for themselves for the future. And a lot of things can change in terms of, you know, crime perhaps being decreased, because now you would actually see these kids working and trying to do something for themselves rather than, you know, hanging out on the streets or dropping out of school because they don't, you know, without this, they wouldn't have any other way to move forward. You know what I mean?
Angela, have you seen kids lose hope if they don't have that path, that legal path open to them and get involved in the kind of stuff you're talking about?
I have. Unfortunately, I am a teacher, and I have, like I said, from personal experience, seen kids who just tell me, well, Miss, you know, I can't do anything. I can't go to college because I don't have papers and I don't have this. And it's very heartbreaking. So I know this would definitely be a great tool for them to, you know, to sort of get out of that mindset and do something with their lives.
Angela, I appreciate your call. Joe Dana, you must have seen that in Phoenix. I mean, if they don't have legal status, and here they are heading out into the world, they've lived here since they were, who knows, you know, 4 or 5 years old, whatever it is. That's a pretty tough situation to be, and you can see why kids would end up going down a bad road if they can't even get a driver's license.
Yeah, and we've seen the additional step taken here again with public schools not offering any kind of state aid to illegal immigrants. And so that has also kept some from getting a college education. And in terms of what type of work they end up getting, whether it's just side jobs, it's tough to say. We haven't really quantified how it really has affected that particular workforce. It is pointed out, it is worth pointing out, though, that with this new program, none of these 20-somethings would be eligible for public benefits, and it's unclear whether they could get driver's licenses.
Really?
So to say that in the long term they might as well just be legalized, it's tough to say that because this specifically says they wouldn't be eligible for a lot of those other benefits that someone here legally would be.
Victoria, is that right? Not even a driver's license, even if they've got a work permit?
I agree. And they're still hashing out the details. But the issue of driver's licenses is one that is left up to individual states. So this is something that's going to vary across the country. And I'm going to disagree here with Mark in terms of that once this is put into place, that these folks are essentially here legally permanently. Anything can happen in politics. And this executive order was proclaimed on Friday. If Mitt Romney wins the election, if the Republicans take over the Congress and they decide that they want to scrap all of this and start with a new direction, then these folks who thought that they had a time gap to be here will no longer have that. So that idea of permanency is one that I don't feel very comfortable with.
Do you think that the president's move will sway the Latino vote in a significant way in November? Do you think this might indeed make it more likely that he will keep the White House, Victoria?
That is an excellent question, Tom, because what we have seen is that regardless of the record high levels of deportation, Latinos overwhelmingly prefer President Barack Obama in surveys. However, there is a big difference between indicating support on a survey and actually turning out to vote. And the enthusiasm gap there is what we were seeing the administration have problems with. Latinos were always saying that they would pick the president over Romney, but as compared to 2008, they were very less enthused of turning out. We have, however, seen in just 4 days, we just had some new research evidence come out from Latino Decisions that shows that that enthusiasm has skyrocketed. So this is going to be the fire that will get Latinos to turn out, especially in those critical swing states of Nevada, New Mexico, and Florida.
NBC News Wall Street Journal poll last month found President Obama leading Mitt Romney among Hispanic voters in approval by 61% to 27%. That's a huge lead on approval. Mark, do you think, I know you don't support what the president just did in strictly, you know, just down and dirty political calculation. Do you think it'll work for him?
Well, clearly that's why they did it. I mean, that's the whole point. The president, you know, had said just last year that it was something he couldn't do. And it's a desperation move. They really have been getting knocked around. The campaign has the past several weeks, in, you know, not immigration related, but, you know, losing in Wisconsin and all kinds of other things. And so they see this clearly as a way of sort of retaking the initiative, going on the offense. And it might well have some modest effect. But frankly, most Americans of Latin origin, just like any other American, vote on issues like the economy and jobs for the most part. So it might well have an effect, but number one, it's not going to be, it's going to be a marginal effect. It might, that might be enough in some places, but it's not going to be big. It also, though, the flip side is it reinforces the storyline that the president in other areas has wants to rule by decree, basically. In other words, avoid Congress and simply issue decrees from the White House to essentially make law. And, I mean, that's very disturbing for some people that can actually increase enthusiasm against the president. Because what essentially the president is saying, not just in this, but in other areas where he has acted on his own, is that democracy doesn't work. That one situation after another, his preferences are so important, and it is such an emergency, a national emergency, to get done the specific things he wants to get done, that it's worth going around outside the constitutional order to do it. And that's something that I think is going to be disturbing, frankly, to a lot of people. So it could well be the political effect ends up being a wash.
And there's the gap. And I mean, you've got that view and another saying, well, no, it's not working because you've got a Congress that won't do anything with this president. Let's go to Matt in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes.
You know, you read the newspaper, you watch the news, you see all these situations that are happening in Greece and Spain and Italy and France, and they talk all about the youth that are can't find jobs and are disenfranchised mm-hmm. and living with their parents till they're 40 years old and health care till they're 35 or 40. Aren't we sort of, it just seems like we're going down the same path and opening the door for this there in this country, too. It's hard enough for a young, and I hate to use the word American, but American to find a job and move out of his or her parents. So, once again, I own a business. I love the people who work the hardest. And I'm not saying that a quote-unquote American deserves anything more, but why would you bring more, once again, it probably sounds horrible, but why bring more people into this country that we can't find work for the people whose grandparents came over, you know, great-grandparents came over and settled the country? It just doesn't make sense. And I don't want to sound like I don't embrace diversity and immigration. I understand that there's a lot of different yep. people that make this country what they are, but yep. why would we bring more people in that we can't even get jobs for the kids who are graduating college?
When unemployment is so high right here, Joe Dana, give us an Arizona perspective on that. How does that question, does the question come up in Arizona, and how does it get answered?
Well, that's the question that Governor Jan Brewer brought up repeatedly on Friday is that. And it was interesting. We just heard the caller say, why bring over more people to work? The opposite side is saying, look, we're not bringing anyone else here. We're just using resources that are already available, people that are already here that may have qualifications to fill certain niches that right now aren't getting filled.
But this will make it easier for those people to work. And, you know, here's our caller saying we got unemployment through the roof already.
It's a great question because we just don't know what the impact will be. When you say you've got 50,000 or so people here in Arizona that mm-hmm. could be eligible mm-hmm. under this new program, mm-hmm. how many of those will actually be able to go out in the next 6 months and get a job? And could those jobs be filled by someone else? It's a great question.
Victoria, what do you say to the concern there? And our caller, you know, tries to put it in a very equitable way, but there's that unemployment figure.
Yeah, and that is a very valid concern. And the question is, how do you define who is American? And I think if you were to ask one of these kids who were brought over when they were maybe 2 years old or 3 years old, what are you? The first thing they're going to say is, I'm American. You know, a lot of them probably don't even speak Spanish. They've never been to Mexico since they were brought over. So in their minds, they are American and they want to succeed in this country and see this country succeed with them. So that definition of who is American is a tricky one.
What would you suggest for that young person, Mark? Are you on the Mitt Romney primary season camp? Go back to Mexico or wherever your family came from and get in line? Is that your solution for them, Mark?
Well, for kids specifically, in other words, for people who were brought here as infants or toddlers, I'm actually in favor of something like some Dream Act 2.0. And I think you can make a strong case for something like that. The Dream Act as it exists and what the president has announced is not for people who came here as infants and toddlers. It's for people who came here up to the age of 16. I have a 16-year-old. And if he and I snuck into Mexico to live, which is very difficult because they actually enforce their immigration laws, but if we did that, he would psychologically be an American for the rest of his life. So one change that the supporters of the Dream Act seems to me would make if they were in good faith interested in passing the bill would be to dramatically lower that age at initial entry. None of the debates over the Dream Act in Congress, none of the supporters ever once entertained the idea of reducing that age down to, say, 12 or 10 or 8 or something like that. Never even came up. They would never consider it because the Dream Act was not designed as a piece of legislation that actually was supposed to get passed. It was a marketing tool for the broader legalization so they could point to sympathetic kids and say, therefore, all 11 million illegal immigrants need to have amnesty.
Well, politics and human reality all here together. I must say, the joy on the faces of some of those kids worried about how they would spend the next, 6 months or year or two in this country without some kind of status, to see that alleviated is very moving. At the same time, the political calculus is very obvious. It's a really fascinating, wholly American juncture we're at right there, American in these times. Mark Krikorian at the Center for Immigration Studies, I want to thank you for being with us today to look at it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Victoria DeFrancesco Soto at the Center for Public and Governance, Politics and Governance at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas. Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure.
And Joe Dana, KPNX Phoenix, thanks so much for joining us, Joe.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks to you as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.